everybody doing this evening? Good, good. Sometimes you can't help the feel with this Facebook Live and going live and all that, like you're on a, I don't know, producing some kind of show. I know this isn't a sitcom or a TV show, but anyway, it's the Lord's house, and it's just funny sometimes how my imagination is. But so good to be here, right here in the middle of the week. And what I labeled tonight on the channel, the page, midweek recharge. And so hopefully we'll be recharged. And this being here tonight will get us to Sunday, along with our own personal time with the Lord during the week. But let me just say right off the bat, so good to see Miss Melissa Slagle with us tonight in the back. And she... moved, was it down south, is it, or way east, or
down south, Cordell.
Cordell. There you go. Yeah, I think I heard Bobby McClendon mention Cordell a few times about them watermelons down there. And I hear they do the watermelon crawl down there. But anyway, and some of them watermelons, you got to get down and pick them up. So big, but that's how you do the watermelon crawl. But anyway, good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody, and I hope everybody's been having a good week this week. And so good to see Brother David back with us, Miss Glenda, and Brother Bobby back with us. And it's always good to see Miss Nancy, and of course she was here Sunday, and. Well, no, they weren't. They were away Sunday, but and nonetheless, good having them back with us. And we had Miss Carol Cape here on Sunday, and her daughter and granddaughter, and on Sunday morning, so it was good seeing them, having them. We all three used to work together, didn't we? When I was the building grounds man at Floyd Road, Miss Carol, Miss Nancy was they. Had their secretary roles there in the office, and so we spent many times talking about the Bible, and even sometimes talking about nothing, just being friends. And those were good times. But good to see Miss Carol. Good to see them now. And let's jump right into things tonight. Let's remember our young people as they get ready to go back to school. And Lily is with a friend tonight. And she's actually with a friend that she literally, when she was just a few days old, well, let me, a couple months old, rather, she was with this friend, a young girl named Anna Horsley. And they're both teenagers, and so they're Lily spent a night with them last night. Anna's mother, Tricia, literally used to babysit Lily. I mean, she was a baby. I mean, she was a little girl, a little baby, and Anna was a little baby. And she would put them in them high chairs and feed them macaroni. And now they're two just wonderful young ladies, and it's just amazing to see them grow up and when you raise them the right way, for sure. So she's with them tonight, but all the young people are getting ready to go back to school. And some schools start on Friday, which is a rob out of your last week off. And but then Cobb County Schools, I believe, start back on Monday. And so let's pray for them tonight as they get ready to go back to school. And a couple updates for you. Miss Ruby Harper, a lot of you already know, but her surgery was a success on Monday. And we praise the Lord for that. Of course, I communicated with Brother Steve, and I talked to Miss Claudia, and they feel like that for the most part, I guess they got it. That was the portion that was in the brain, thereabouts. So they said that she may get to go home today. I don't know if she's home now or not, but for a woman her age, having brain surgery like that, and coming home that soon. That is the power of prayer. That's God being faithful, and that's God showing out, like I like to call it, showing what he can do. And so let's continue to pray her, though, and pray for her and her family her recovery and days ahead. Let's also remember Miss Marianne Sanvey. She goes tomorrow for her foot surgery. And so we've got to get that foot better, get that foot well. And so let's remember her. Any details you want to share about that or just... Okay, 11 instead of 1. So we'll remember that. I quit Sunday morning mentioning a lot of minor details about everybody's situation because I got about 3 of them wrong and 2 or 3 of them. So things change. We're aware of that. So let's remember her tomorrow morning as she goes to have her surgery. All right, let's. I'm just going to call off everybody's name going down the list tonight. Brother Don, Sister Carla, let's remember them, their daughter Krista. Let's remember Brother Richard Martin and his wife Deborah. I know several have reached out to them. And so we're just praying for them during this time in his absence. I just pray that the Lord would bless them and give them good health. So remember Richard Martin and his wife Deborah. Gerald Carroll. Miss C.C. Prestridge and her health. Randy and Diane Ely. Let's remember our children's home. Of course, Miss Bobby, Miss Nancy, Brother Bobby, McClendon. As Brother Bobby continues to get his strength back and different things. Sometimes the side effects of COVID is what lingers and, you know, just really takes a toll on you. So, Brother Bobby's a fighter, and he fought his way back to church. So, praise the Lord for that. But let's remember him. And, of course, Brother David, and days ahead after his bout with COVID as well, Miss Glenda. Let's remember Tracy Reese and her mother, Miss Dorothy, Miss Mary Rich, and her elbow. She continues to get better with that. Brother Harold, he's had some car trouble, so he's been out for a while. And last week spoke with him. I think it's going to be 4 weeks before his transmission gets fixed. And so we're going to try to arrange a ride for him to get to church. I'd hate for him have to sit away when he's not that far away from here, watching on Facebook only, especially if he feels good and it's a matter of an automobile. So let's try to get Brother Harold to church if we can. Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Let's remember them as they get over COVID. And I thought I read on Facebook where she broke a toe or two. She was getting ready for church. I don't know the details, but seems like I came across that where she broke a toe or two. So we'll remember them in prayer, Brother Leonard as well. James and Shirley Townsend. The Dailies, the Ashworths, Rusty and Chris Watkins. Not sure if they watch on Facebook or not, but happy anniversary to them. Today's their anniversary. And sent them both a message today. Told them we missed them and happy anniversary to them. And so praise the Lord for their marriage. Randy and Janet Bailey, Miss Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton. Got Melissa Slagle on here. We call your name out every Wednesday, and it's just good to look up and see you in person. So praise the Lord for that. James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, Kevin Brook, which preached on Sunday night and did a tremendous job getting ready to go back to Bible college or Christian college here very soon. I believe that's next week he's going back, Miss Tammy? Or on the 10th, okay. All right, and let's remember our shut-ins as well. Anybody have an update, a praise report? Any unspoken tonight? Raise your hand. Absolutely, all across the room. We don't want to voice everything, do we? Some things are private. Go ahead, Brother David. Sure will. Yes.
We went to Waffle House. Brother Don was there. Him and Don had a real good conversation. He had some
Good, good. Awesome, awesome. Sounds like it was meant to be. Anybody else? Just a little bit of encouraging news. You know, we are, but yet we want to be much more a Great Commission church, moving forward, spreading the gospel, not just on foreign grounds, but at home as well. And the help of Brother Don. Brother Don, you're a great help over here, man. I want to tell you, brother. We were able to reach out to Victory Baptist Press, and we gave them our church information and working on some kind of small picture to go with it for an invite, but also has one of those codes on there. QR code, thank you. And they scan it with their phone. It gives the gospel. Of course, our info will be on the postcard as well. All postage is paid. And everyone in 30127 zip code is going to get one of those postcards. And so we could be talking about, you know, a couple thousand people. And so be encouraged with that. That's going forth ASAP. And we want to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to see new people coming to church, not just to boost attendance, but to hear the gospel and get saved, and have a desire to want to grow and come to church. And when that happens, the church will grow. And so that's an exciting thing. We're looking forward to that. Got some other things in the works, and I think you're going to be excited about. We'll mention those things coming soon. But I do want to mention this coming up Sunday night will be our last Sunday night fellowship of the month. And so we'll have a devotion, and then we'll have some food like we always do. And so bring somebody with you, invite somebody to come. Since Brother Kevin spoke on Sunday night, normally we have that time for Brother CJ. So we asked CJ, could we swap you out for the devotion time on last Sunday night? So Brother CJ will be bringing a word then, and so let's pray for him and for that time on Sunday night as we fellowship together. Also, let's remember Sunday morning for God to do amazing things. Do you still believe he can do amazing things? Amen. And so do I. All right, anybody else? All right, well, I'm going to stick this in the air. This is the sign-up sheet for Sunday night. And Christy asked Miss Sharon to ask me to remember that, and she asked me probably about a dozen times from Sunday to today. And so thank you, Miss Sharon, for reminding me right at this moment to mention that. Appetizers, sandwiches, chips, drinks, desserts. Here's a sign-up sheet for that. So if you would bring something, that would be great. All right. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's pray. And Brother Jeff has a song for us, as we've been doing regularly on Wednesday nights, just after we pray, and then we'll bring the thought for tonight. Proverbs 18 tonight. Proverbs 18. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Proverbs 18, verse number 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. And my wife, Christy, she'll be having a birthday on Saturday. And that would be my mother's birthday as well. Of course, she's in heaven, and she passed when she was 60. And it's been about 7 years ago, roughly. So she would have been around 67. But, you know, when I first met Christy, it took me a day or two to know that she was the one. She said she knew on the third day. I said, "You're just trying to be spiritual." And, when she told me what her birthday was, I took that as God's confirmation. She said, "It's July 30th. I said, "Get out of here." "No, it's July 30th. And I said, "Don't get out of here. Come here." But anyway, so I just thought I'd say that. Just a happy early birthday to her. All right. Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs 18. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read from verse number 24 and bring the lesson tonight. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you. We stand in need of a touch from you tonight. I pray, Lord, that the things that are said, they will be honoring of you. Lord, the subject tonight, as I feel you placed in my heart, is such a relevant subject that needs clarity for the day and time in which we live. And I pray by the end of the service tonight, the lesson, the message, that we would better understand the subject and be ready to display this subject. We love you tonight and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen. All right, Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to speak on the subject tonight of facts about friendships. Facts about friendships. Again, I really can't think of another relevant, all kinds of subjects that are relevant to the day and time we're living in. And let me just say, the whole Bible is relevant. So I'm definitely not saying only bits and pieces of it is. But certain subjects really stand out to me. This subject of being a friend and friendships really needs clarity, I think, in the day and time in which we're living. Many people don't have a clue when it comes to being a friend. A large part of friendships are based on emotions. You know these kind of people as well as I do. If they're up, you're their friend. But if they're down, you're not their friend. If you do something, even sometimes when you're not aware that you've done something to offend them, they're done with you. And you can't find them for 2 or 3 weeks. They've been offended and you have no idea that you offended them. So a large part of friendships in the day and time that we live, really from the beginning of time, they're all emotional based. A large part of them are. And then some relationships, some friendships are one-sided, where one person does all the work. If one person is doing all the work, there's this constant giving and giving and giving. And the one over here is just receiving. That's going to be a strained relationship. there's going to be some anger in that relationship. Some resentment will be in that relationship. You love that person. You don't want to unfriend them, Facebook terms. You don't want to unfriend them because you love them, but yet because they're just taken, you're given. It's a strained relationship. And you'll see a relationship where it's one-sided, where one moment they're friends and they're walking together, the next moment they're not friends, and one's speaking evil of the other one while the other one is speaking righteously of the other one. And then there is friendships that are sexual based. And so those are definitely a negative relationship as well. Tonight I want to say that the only lasting relationships, the best, most healthy relationships, are those that are founded upon Christ. And you know that as well as I know that. Where Jesus is the center, where there is surrender on both sides, where there's compassion on both sides, where there's agape love on both sides, unconditional love through Jesus, that is, then and only then will a relationship last. And again, this lesson really is worthy of being taught at least once a year. Because I think somewhere along the way, between work and church, and extracurricular activities, if you have kids, other things in your life that you may do, somewhere along the way, we kind of lose the meaning of what it is to be a friend. And so tonight, I want to mention some things, basically four facts about friendships that's strictly from the book of Proverbs. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I really wanted to mention this. I wanted to find a place to mention it. Kind of funny, but it's real. I think it's kind of funny. You know, that dog of mine, his name is Cooper, and I can yell at my dog. I can get mad at my dog. I've never laid a hand on my dog. I can tell him, no, no. And he knows when I say no, no, what no, no means. And there's times where I come in the house and I don't know, may have been a hard day or just dealing with some things. And he's always running to the door and barking right when I get home. And sometimes I say, quit that barking. Well, what do you think a dog's supposed to do? It's their nature to bark. What do I want him to do? Say, okay, sir. No, he can't speak. He can't talk. He's not a human. I'm a human. But you know what? Every time that I may be a little upset with him, I'll go in the living room. I'll sit down, and there he is. He jumps up in my lap. He's at my feet. He's looking up at me. Now, I know he really wants a treat, is what he wants. But, you know, and so when someone says to you, you're nothing but a dog, just say thank you. Because sometimes dogs are very loyal, and they portray, although they're not a human, they portray a true friendship. And I just wanted to mention that. It's called the man's best friend, and that is a canine. All right, let me mention four things tonight, and we'll be through. Number one, the meaning of the word friend. Now, the word friend, friendly, and friends is used in verse 24. He says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you look at these words, all three of them, they have some common grounds. And it basically just means an associate. It means a companion. It means a neighbor. The word friendly there, or the word, I'm sorry, friends, a man that hath friends, in Strong's Concordance, means specifically associate, companion, neighbor. That's Strong's definitions, not concordance. And let me say that the meaning of the word friends or friendly or friend in this verse It's all undergirded and wrapped up with love and respect. And so tonight, when we're studying, we're looking at the word friend. We look at this word with the idea that it means associate, companion, neighbor, wrapped up with love and respect. Now, there are some people that I'm associates with that I know, and I would say they're my friend, but the level of relationship isn't where it is with some others. And so I love them, but not with the kind of love I have for others or you might have for others. So there's different levels within a friendship. Also, I found out in both Old and New Testaments, the idea of a friend or friendships carry three main components as the meaning or definition of the word friend, associate, companion, or neighbor. The three main components all through Scripture are these three words: association, loyalty, and affection. And so what we're trying to do with this first point is talk about what it means to be a friend, or look at the definition and things surrounding the word friend. Three main components when you look in Scripture: there's association, loyalty, and affection. You'll find that when Paul in the New Testament talks about certain people, I believe one of them, Epaphroditus, he talks about, and he mentions his name only twice. I believe it's in the book of Colossians. I stand corrected if I'm wrong. But he mentions in one specific verse, he is a fellow laborer. He's a brother. And all of these different words he uses to describe Epaphroditus. And it may be the book of Ephesians. But nonetheless, he's describing his love for him, his relationship to him. And truly tonight, that's what a friend is. It is an associate of some degree. It's a companion. It's a neighbor. It's someone who shows love and respect for you and the relationship. And so how are we doing with being a friend? Are we showing love and respect? Are we that kind and courteous neighbor and companion? Are we that kind of friend? Now, there's also three words for the word love in the Bible. There's the word phileo, the word eros, and agape. And phileo describes a general friendship kind of love. Eros is more of a intimate, sexual kind, I could say, or I will say. But then agape is that unconditional love. And so in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so when it comes to the word friend, there is attached a whole lot of things. And the word agape is attached to this word friend tonight, as in the book of Proverbs and as we see it in Scripture. At least that's the goal, is to try to be that kind of friend that loves with an unconditional love. And so tonight we see the word friend. The meaning of the word friend. Now, I want to move on to a second thing in the same verse, verse 24. And that is the making of a friend. We've seen the meaning of a friend. Now, what about the making of a friend? And let me just say that I want to be real and genuine tonight, but also simple. I'm a very simple-minded person. And I learn best when things are broke down in elementary ways. So I'm also going to use some of my life experience with this lesson as well. All right, the making of a friend. The making of a friend. I believe that there's a dual meaning when it comes to the making of a friend. Look at verse 24. He says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I believe there's a dual meaning there. There's a dual meaning in that one phrase, but there's one main ingredient, and that is friendliness. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And the dual meaning is this. Number one, I believe it means friendliness will get the friend. But then I believe it means friendliness will keep the friend. Because if you look at it, he says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So you might say, okay, well, the person that has friends is because he's friendly. He has friends. He showed himself friendly, and he has friends. And that's true. If you want to be a person who has friends, you've got to be a friendly person. I haven't met many people who are proud and arrogant and all about themselves and what they have and how bad everybody else is and how good they are that has a lot of friends. And so a man, a person that has friends must show themselves friendly. You got to be friendly to get a friend, but then you got to be friendly to keep the friend. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And so we ought not to be friendly just to get a friend, but after we get that friend, we need to continue to be friendly with that friend. And so sometimes it's easy in friendships when things come up to get angry, and things do happen like that in friendships, where you might get angry with one another, you might disagree with your friend, and while you had this fantastic meeting experience, now you're going through a time of adversity in your friendship. And so it's important to not only be friendly to get a friend, but we also got to remember to stay friendly to our friends. And so tonight, that's the making of a friend. Now, I do want to say that with both of these meanings, this dual meaning, that friendliness will get you a friend, but friendliness will keep the friend, there's also another common denominator or main ingredient. Not only friendliness, but there's a cost involved. Am I making sense tonight? Okay, I just want to make sure. Because I study it, and I know every time that I preach, sometimes it feels like it's confusing coming out. But I know the way that I study it, it's not confusing. Because every time I speak it, I go back and listen, and it makes sense. I just want to make sure. It's Wednesday night, and we all kind of toughen it through. Friendliness is the main ingredient in getting a friend, keeping a friend, but also there's a cost involved in friendships. And the reason why some struggle with friendships is because they don't want to put in the work. They may get you as a friend. They may have been kind to you in the beginning and started the friendship off greatly. There may have been a blue sky and a bright sun and butterflies going. I ain't talking about man and woman only. I'm talking about just friends. But somewhere along the way, somehow, some way, they stop paying the cost of being a friend. They're okay with it costing you time and energy. They're okay with you pouring in your life and soul in the friendship. They're okay with you chasing them down. They're okay with you going the extra mile, but they don't want to get off the couch for you. They're willing to receive, they're willing to take, they're willing for you to chase them down, for you to jump through the hoops they put out, but yet they're not willing to get off the couch or lift a finger for you. You see, they're not willing to pay that cost. And when you're trying to make a friend, you need to be friendly. I don't care what the past is that you have. I don't care what my past is. If we want to be a person who has friends, if we want to be a person who is friendly, we've got to be friendly. We've got to pay that cost. Whatever that cost may be. And the problem is with friendships in our day, people have stopped paying the cost. It's their angle on life only, their view on life only, what they can get and what they can gain. But when it comes to you, the other side of the relationship, they don't want to do anything for you. And so we have strained relationships. And you don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder if anybody has any strained relationships tonight. Anybody on Facebook have any strained relationships when you have been pouring everything you can possibly pour into a person and yet you feel so taken advantage of? That's a bad place to be. When you knew you had something special with this friend and then somewhere along the way something happened and you feel like you're being taken advantage of. And so it's a strained relationship. The making of a friend. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now look at the other part of this verse. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I've always heard that and taken that as meaning Jesus. And no doubt, Jesus is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But let me just say this tonight. Everybody in your, all of you in your mind right now has that one friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's that one, I've told Lily before, and I try not to use the world's wisdom at all because most of it is flawed. But I would say, because I found this to be true, if you have five true friends in your lifetime that will go that extra mile for you, no payment required, you're doing good. And while Jesus indeed is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, I have some people in mind tonight. I'm not going to say their names. But there's some people in my mind that I met through the years till this present time. No payment required. They will do things my own blood will not do for me. And that is my friend for life. So we have that one friend. And talking about Lily and you know, Charisse being with us for a while and she being back home now. I read that today and I said, that's what Charisse is to Lily. And that's what Lily is to Charisse. You know, she's moved away. I mean, I knew the whole time they had a special relationship. Like in the Old Testament, Jonathan and David. Brian preached on Sunday morning. And she worried in the beginning. She said, Dad, she said, and it was on a Wednesday night when we got word she was moving originally, left church. Christy said, you ain't going to believe it. She said, Charisse is moving. I said, oh, my gracious. Oh, this is hard. You see, when Lily was that little, it wasn't that hard. You know, because she don't know anybody's names anyway, hardly, at school. And when she gets about this tall and she's almost getting ready to look you in the eyes, that's when it gets tough. And so we were coming home from church, and I leaned over to Christy. I said, I'm just going to tell her. She wanted to wait till we got home. No, we need to tell her now so when we get home, we can get ready to call it a night. I said, Lily, Charisse is moving, honey. And it was dead silence. I said, and more specifically, she's moving to Florida. And, I mean, it was silent for like 5 minutes, and then the tears came. And then I'm like, oh, my Lord. And I was literally saying, oh, my Lord. Because I did not know what to do. I've never raised a child before, a teenager, at that. And now she has a broken heart. And I want to tell you, the day that Charisse left, it was a cold January day. We were in the parking lot of the school. Her mom was there with her. I was there with Lily. And they had the longest hug. I mean, I'm telling you, it was sad. It was sad. She said, Dad, I thought you, on the way home from church after we told her, she said, Dad, you said that in middle school you'll meet that friend, and Christy and I both talked to her about this because that's where we met good friends is in middle school that we're friends with today. You'll meet that best friend that will be your friend your whole life. I said, Lily, and that's not changing. That's not changing. Because we feel like Charisse is that friend, no matter how many miles. Hey, Brother Don and Miss Carla, they're in Peru. And, I mean, what a friend they are. What a friend they are to each and every one of us.
And I said, no matter how many miles are between you and her, no matter how many days, weeks, months, or years, if God has put y'all together to be a lifelong friend, it'll happen. And we truly believe that's what he did. They just have this friendship that's close. And tonight, when it comes to making a friend, we must show ourselves friendly. We must be friendly to make friends, but we must remain friendly after making those friends. And so we see the making of a friend. Let me mention something else. Not only the meaning of a friend, the making of a friend, but then number 3, chapter 17, if you would, and verse 17, the maintaining of a friend. Friends require maintenance. In order to maintain a healthy relationship, maintenance is involved. Chapter 17, verse 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So we see in this verse, a friend loves at all times. Don't need much interpretation there. A friend will, a companion, an associate, depending upon the level of relationship, the neighbor, the friend with love and respect will love you, and you will love them at all times. When things are good, when they're in prosperity, you will love them. And a challenging part is when you're in poverty and they're in prosperity, to continue to love them and not get jealous. You see, these are all kinds of things that happen in relationships. A friend loveth at all times. When things are good, during times of prosperity and things are going well, well, you'll love them. And it's easy to love people when things are going well. It's easy when things are going well and there's prosperity, whether of health, finances, relationships, other kind of relationships, then you'll be thankful. And can I be frank tonight? Can I be honest? Can I be frank while being Justin? Some of the hardest times, some of the most trying times for me to continue my love for my friends as a pastor is when they leave the church and they say, God is moving us somewhere else. Oh, it's not you. And I'm not mocking nobody. It's not you. It's not the people. We know they love us there. But Brother Justin, we just feel like we need to go over here. And this is where we're being fed. And listen, since I've been in ministry, I've always been this way. I've always been thankful and grateful when that time happens. Now, it's another thing where they say, we're not being fed. Y'all ain't got together over there. We're leaving. That's another thing. And it's a very sobering thing at that, because that's when I examine my heart to see if I still need to be in the ministry or not. And so when times are good, a friend loveth at all times. What about when that friend goes on to bigger and better things? Will you still love them? Or will there be envy on the inside? Will there be resentment? Oh, well, I hope you do well over there, but I'm telling you, you're out of the will of God. That might be the case for some. But if you know in your heart, and if I know in my heart that God could be in this, it's hard sometimes to love during those times. It's hard to want to maintain that relationship. But times like that happen in life. Not just in ministry, but in life in general. Loving someone at all times. When it's for their benefit, your benefit, or for both of you. A friend is to love at all times. And this is part of the maintenance of being a friend. Is being there for them. When God is blessing them, when God is doing great things for them, is to be there for them, love on them, pray for them, and always be there to guide them and counsel them if they need you. It's part of the maintenance of a friend and being a friend. And so the other part of that is not only loving during the good times, but loving during the bad times. Loving during the bad times. Loving in the good times in prosperity, but then loving in the bad times in adversity. When a friend says, I hate to tell you this, but I went to the doctor the other day and it's not good. I have cancer. And it's a friend that you've had for all these years and they tell you this news and you're crushed on the inside. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for adversity. A real friend will stick with you whether you're in health or not in health. A brother is born for adversity. A sister is born for adversity. A real friend, whether you are in health or not, whether you are in prosperity or not, a real friend, a true friend, will be there for you when times are bad. And I thank God for the ones that have stayed with me during times of struggle. I thank God for my wife when the times where my humanity comes out and I have to apologize. My wife is my true friend. She's seen me when I'm up. She has seen me when I'm down. And she loves me anyway. If you have got a spouse tonight or have had one, and you know you know God has sent you one and they have been there for you, then you are a blessed person. Protect that relationship. Protect it. Thank God for my spouse who's loved me during the good times and the times of struggle. And so a friend tonight, when it comes to friendships, there's a maintenance involved. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. He sympathizes, he comforts for you in your time of difficulty. Let me say this and I'll move on. You remember Job's three friends? When they first made their way to him, what did they do? They sat down and wept. They sat down and wept. Now, as the story unfolds, we know that they had accusation after accusation after accusation. But they've never seen their friend like that before. Their friend was decaying in the flesh with the bulls and sitting in a pile of ashes. I mean, lost kids, lost wealth, housing, and everything. They never seen that way, their friend that way before. And so they came, excuse me, they came along and they sat down with them and they just wept. They had no words of comfort to express. I imagine that they were just trying to connect the dots. Why is Job struggling so bad? Why did he lose everything? He honored God with his life, made sacrifices for his family. They had no words in the beginning. They just wept. And that is actually an excellent way to deal with something when you don't have words. Just weep with them. You know, sometimes in ministry when we're involved with situations of church members, and whether it's a death or a bad doctor's report, something with a child along those lines, you know, we're searching, aren't we, Brother Don? And Brother Don, Brother Jeff Deacons. We're searching for words of comfort to say. We're searching for words of even correction when it's maybe a wayward child or something. And sometimes we can't find those words. And so the best thing to do is just hug their neck and weep with them. Just let them know that you're here for them. Instead of saying something and it not coming out the right way. I've learned that way too. So tonight we see the maintaining of a friend. And that is, or the maintaining of a friend, I'm sorry. And that is just loving at all times. When things are good, rejoice with them. When things are bad, just help them. Let me mention one more thing, and we'll be through tonight. What about the ministry of a friend? There's a ministry of a friend as well. All of these are, as I've been saying recently, are cousins to one another. But if you turn to chapter 27, in verse number 6, there's a ministry of a friend here, which is closely connected to the maintenance of a friend. Chapter 27 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." With friends tonight comes wounds. Comes wounds. Now, sometimes we need correction, and sometimes we need to give correction as friends, which creates wounds. Remember when Nathan stepped in and told David, "You're the man. You're the one. I'm telling you this because I love you. I'm telling you this because God wants me to tell you." And so sometimes there are wounds that come that way in friendships. When we're out of line or someone's out of line and we love them too much not to tell them the truth. And so we tell them the truth. And sometimes they get angry and sometimes they get upset. But we value the relationship so much and we want to be this biblical friend. We want to hold them accountable. And so we sometimes offer words of correction. And this creates wounds. But then sometimes we offer correction, but then sometimes we're hurt. Now, these are closely connected, but there's a difference here. Look what the rest of verse 6 says. "But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Let me say this before I say that. That sometimes we are hurt, sometimes we get hurt, and sometimes correction, when we correct others, they get hurt. And sometimes when we get corrected, we get hurt. But sometimes we get hurt, and sometimes we hurt others, and we're not trying to correct them. It's just flesh. These situations create wounds. When we just say something out of no apparent reason, and we hurt somebody's feelings. We're not trying to correct them for anything. They're not in need of correction. We just say something out of the flesh. They say something to you. You know, the old saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones. Words will never hurt me." That's a lie. That's a lie. Now, I'm not going to say who this man is. And I warned you I was going to be frank while being Justin tonight. But during Jubilee time, I walked into church and there was a visitor here. And I hadn't seen him in a long time. And the very first thing he said to me, "Boy, you're getting big." Yeah. Well, when you're skinny saying that, that's okay. But when you struggle every day with your weight, that's not okay. And so I talked to the Lord about this because several have told me that since life happened. And I resolved within myself, the next person who says that, I'm going to put them in their place right there on the spot because they need to know better. Don't tell me. I told them, I said, "That hurt my feelings." And I looked just as serious as anything. I looked as serious as an emergency. I said, "That hurt my feelings." You know what he said? "Oh, I didn't mean to say, I'm just a good old country boy." I said, "No." I said, "I'm going to let you know you offended me in my church tonight. And that really hurt my feelings." And I came back on the second night. Same man, same spot. You know what he did? He stood up, called me over. A senior citizen crying their eyes out, telling me how sorry they are. And they need to change their ways. Do they have uneasiness to come at the Calvary? Probably. But it wasn't my doing. It was their doing. And so tonight the whole point is sometimes, and using me as an illustration, sometimes we say things and it just hurts people. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes you get hurt the most by your friends. And I don't know if someone's watching tonight who is mad at a friend or has been hurt by a friend. But if you want to be a biblical friend, there must be reconciliation. There must be sacrifice. Somebody has got to put their ego on the back burner and do what's right. And tonight, when it comes to this ministry of being a friend, well, sometimes we have to correct people. In that particular occasion, he spoke out of the flesh and I corrected him. And I would hope to think he will never say whatever pops to his head the first time when he sees somebody that's not the same as he is. There was a time in the funeral home, of all places, someone says they want to make a weight joke toward me. You know what I told them? And it was a great uncle of mine. Someone died in the family. He said, "Boy, you put on the weight." You know what I told him? I said, we called each other brother because we never see each other. He's a preacher. I'm a preacher. He's a senior citizen. I said, "Yeah, pray for me. The doctor said that they're going to give me one more treatment. And I've got my kidneys are backing up." And about that time, boy, his countenance changed. He goes, "Oh, my goodness, son. I didn't know." And I said, "I'm just kidding." Put him in his place. And, you know, sometimes people, they can just, you say, "Well, you ought not to say that." I did say it. And listen, whatever tactic it uses to correct people. And listen, that's hard for me. In the ministry, as a pastor, I do well by being kind and you know, just compassionate. And I'll tell you, I will allow things to go a while and go a while. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But if my back's against the wall, you'll see a side of me you haven't seen before. And it's not going to be out of anything else other than love. And because I'm your friend. So faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In conclusion tonight, how are we to be a biblical friend? It's simple. Emulate and replicate Jesus. That's how you be a biblical friend. I did want to finish the second part of verse 6, as I said I would. He says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Are you thinking about the same person I am in the New Testament? Judas, the kiss of betrayal. He had an underlying strategy of how to betray the Lord and get that silver. And he showed the men where he was at. And he leaned up and he kissed them. And that's how they knew who he was. And it was the kiss of betrayal. And so there's those friends who will tell you the truth. And then there's those friends who are just deceitful friends. They're deceitful. They won't tell you the truth. They have an underlying meaning why they're your friend. They're working it from both ends, just like Judas. But even the Judases in our life, they have underlying strategies as to why they're our friend. Let's just love them like Jesus. Again, how are we to be that biblical friend? We're to emulate and replicate the Lord. And so that's the message tonight, the lesson, facts about being friends. Again, I said I was going to get honest and try to be simple but be real from the verses as we know them, the best we know them. And I hope it was a blessing. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, again, the content we're talking about tonight, were so relevant, so just misconstrued about relationships. Relationships should not be based upon money or lust, but they should be based upon the love of God. And Lord, if anything, help us tonight just forbear one another. Just be long-suffering. In fact, the Bible says that's how others know that we're disciples and belong to Him is by love. By love. And so help us continue to emulate and replicate the Lord Jesus in our lives. We love you today and we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Well, let's remember this coming up Lord's Day on Sunday morning. Ask that the Lord would bless the service and then Sunday night as well as we move things downstairs and have a good time of devotion and eating as well. Anything to Ms. Linda?
I have a prayer request.
Okay.
A friend of ours, Mm-hmm. And his wife drowned.
Oh. Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't remember what the total was of the drownings in Lake Altoona so far this year, but it was at least, I think it was around 10.
Just,
yeah. We'll certainly pray. We will certainly pray. It's terrible. Anybody else? All right, we're going to go, Miss Catherine. Okay. We certainly will. We certainly will. Let's remember Ceylon tonight, and in our closing prayer, we'll remember him and Miss Mary Ann for her surgery tomorrow. For those that don't know, Miss Claudia, she's actually our helping hands lady. She said, I said, well, who you got work with? She goes, well, mainly it's just me, so basically helping hand. But anyway, she asked me to just spread the thought she had, help her out maybe if someone wants to mail Miss Ruby a card or something like that. You probably already have. I know you probably some probably already have. But just trying to help out Miss Claudia's ministry a little bit, that we greatly appreciate being the helping hands to just anybody that's had surgery, lost a loved one. Y'all already know, and y'all are good at it. I just told her I'd mention that. All right, one last prayer, and we're going to pray for you, Miss Marianne, and we're going to pray for Ceylon. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we pray for Miss Marianne tomorrow when she goes in. God, I pray you'll give her a good night's rest tonight. Lord, I pray that the doctor will have a good night's rest and his or her assistance. Let it be successful. Lord, let them take their time. I pray for the recovery process, that that the appropriate time would be for that, not be rushed for a recovery, but take her time so she can heal up well and not have this trouble anymore. So we pray for her tonight. We pray for Brother Ceylon, that you would touch him and his body, touch his health. Lord, he's a diabetic, his sugar giving him problems. God, I just pray that you would regulate that and let them have a great night's rest tonight. Same for Miss Catherine and the rest of us. Just get a good night's rest. Wake up with our eyes on the Lord facing the day. And Father, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You are dismissed.